Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. What a fabulous conversation I have to offer today. Kate exudes optimism and the power of positive thinking and calm. She explains how we are all interconnected, how to raise our consciousness, the vibrations of our emotions. If it sounds woo-woo to you, wait until we talk about the age of Aquarius. But if you do a little research of your own, it all makes sense. I encourage you to do that research and then leave comments. Listen now. Change. It's everywhere this time of life. Kids are out on their own. Parents are passing on. Retirement is in the crosshairs. And who's that person sitting opposite me at the table? Do I still have anything in common with them? If I sold this big house, what could I do with my life? Not to mention all the crazy stuff happening in the world today. Change is either in your life or approaching from the wings. If change is in your life or soon to be, you want it to be positive. And when you're in the midst of it, sometimes it's hard to be positive. The aforementioned changes are major life changes one at a time, let alone if they come in pairs or gangs. My guest today is a confidence and career coach. Kate is our age, so has had her share of change and challenge. She's a certified life coach, a certified personal financial coach, and a Reiki master teacher. Kate is also the author of Humanity's Cry for Change, to help you create a happier life, to gain hope, to realize you can make positive changes for yourself and humanity. Kate Hartsong, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Oh, I am so grateful to be here. Thanks, Agnes. It's wonderful. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. Kate, in your profile, it says that since childhood, you've dreamed of making the world a better place for all. Tell us about such lofty goals at such a young age.
Oh, I don't recall why or how, but when I was so young, I've always been, and I can very much be like this today, but when I was young, I always just wanted to see everyone enjoy and just have everything at peace and everything in harmony, love and all that. And sometimes I wished I had a wand that I could just put on top of everyone's head if they weren't completely happy. But it is interesting that I had those feelings back then because, interestingly, this is what is so much in my heart today. I would love to see more peace and harmony. And yet I've also realized that part of life is to grow because of challenges that we're given. So life isn't all about roses and harmony 100% of the time. And yet I still strive to do what I can to, do my part to contribute to a better earth and a new earth and kinder and safer and more respectful and kind.
Well, you are definitely more kind than I, because I have a phrase that I use quite often that is a little bit more dramatic. When I rule the world, things will be different.
Oh, I like that, though. It sounds so empowering.
I did research coming into our conversation today, and the more I read, the more I got to feeling that bettering our own situation and the world around us is an inside job.
It is. It's a hard, can be hard for us to make change. And yet that's what life is about, right, Agnes?
Absolutely.
We really are all about making change, and that's how we really grow. But it's not so easy unless we have really good tools.
Right.
And we're willing to take the challenge and to learn from it and recognize that really everything offers us a lesson and a gift.
Okay, you use that word, everything. You talk about interconnectedness, all of us and Mother Earth. What does that mean?
Yes. On the most basic elemental level of all life is made of energy. Energy is the most basic element. It's not protons or atoms, but energy, and energy interpenetrates, distance or not, energy penetrates and interpenetrates with everything. And it is for this reason that we are all interconnected. There really is a oneness. We have a perception of a physical body, and yet, in truth, we are really all one. And quantum physics has proved this time and time and again. So whether we're interconnected, well, we are connected with people, we're connected with plants and animals, with the earth, actually all of the cosmos, there is an interconnection. And for example, most all of us have experienced various different demonstrations of this interconnection. For example, someone suddenly pops into our head, a friend or a relative we haven't thought of for a while. And then sure enough, a couple hours later, they call us. Yes, and another example is when we walk into a room where maybe two people have just gotten into a fight, we can feel that icky energy. Or let's say someone walks into a party, they have such charisma, they're just one of those people that everyone likes to gravitate to. And we say, oh, I love their vibes. And it is, it's actually the vibration. I might digress just briefly. Energy moves, and when it moves, it vibrates. And so when people are in a higher frequency, which is when energy vibrates really fast, there's like emotions like, oh, joy, love, peace, gratitude, collaboration, kindness. Those are all vibrating at a faster pace. And so people who walk into the room who feel really good, they are vibrating at a higher rate. And then, of course, the lower frequency of emotions such as jealousy or worry, frustration, angst, greed, they don't feel good. So there is a full range of emotions that vibrate at different levels. So again, that kind of explains what your question is about the interconnection of life. So everything is vibration, even plants and animals, and oh, our thoughts and our emotions.
That's interesting, because as you were explaining the higher energy, my thought went to a very energetic emotion, which is anger. But yet you say that even something as intense as anger can be, that it's a lower frequency?
It's lower relative to the higher frequencies of love and kindness and peace and joy. So okay. It's really a kind of a full spectrum scale. It's a good question, yes.
Well, I was just thinking maybe I had it wrong then. My interpretation was wrong insofar as higher level does not mean higher intensity. It's higher as in better. I don't know, for lack of a better word. I'm winging it here.
Thank you, Agnes. And that's an excellent question and a great thing for me to clarify. Higher, faster vibration, which is at a higher frequency, does not mean that it's necessarily more intense. It's just the speed by which energy is moving. That's really what it boils down to. So not so much the intensity, like anger. Anger is very intense. But yes, even anger will be at a lower, slower vibration. It's just the way nature works.
Right.
I hope that makes sense.
It does, yeah, yeah. And as you started to explain that too, I was thinking of, you talked about somebody walking into a room, and you know, if you're having a great day, and you come across somebody who is upset, well, let's go with angry because it's such a negative thing, and you can't help but wear some of that energy. So when you go into your next encounter, then you're bringing some of that with you. And I just thought, like, it's a spiral going down Whereas if you can be the positive energy and exude that and pass that around, then it's the spiral going up.
It is. And you bring up an excellent point. We can be influenced consciously, or most often is unconscious, influenced by another person's energy. And if we are not living a conscious, mindful life, this is really key. If we are not living a conscious, mindful life, then we could get right sucked into their negative energy. Now, it depends on the context. Perhaps a dear friend of ours has just lost a loved one. Of course, they're going to be in grief and in that all those lower vibrational energies, and we want to be there to support them, and we will. And yet we don't need to, as much as we can, we don't need to bring ourselves down either. It depends on how self-regulating are we with our emotions. If we can be there to support our friend who has lost a loved one, being at a more calm and loving and just offering that compassion, that kindness, we will be in a higher vibration. And yet we can still be around that person with that energy. If a person is in a place of maybe not so conscious, and they easily get sucked into other people's emotions, perhaps they might get all caught up with the grieving. It just depends. So I always like to recognize how good it is for us to be in a self-regulation and awareness of our emotions. And how do we react? How do we show up when we can be with others? And if we can be in a higher vibration, that's great. But also, Agnes, as you know, life is not meant for us to be always at 100%, always up, because we all have challenges that come. So I share with my clients and my audiences how important it is to realize, yes, we do have that human side. And so there may be upsets and challenges we come through and recognize it. And we may not be up high in the high vibration of love and kindness or gratitude. And we may need to feel our feelings too, and it's important not to stuff them. And the key is, though, what tools do I have to self-regulate? How can I process through the upset and the challenge as best as I can, and then go back into using certain tools to raise my vibration again? For example, perhaps have gratitude, or, you know, whatever tool we have to self-soothe to then get us back into at least neutral or a higher level, so we don't stay low vibration all the time. You know, when I was like in my teenage years and 20s, and this might be true for most people, if there was an upset, it would take days sometimes for me to get through it. But then I didn't know the tools. I didn't know how to get in out of it and how to process. But today, and for many years, I'm better able to deal with challenges in a much shorter time frame.
Well, in terms of teens, I think, you know, so much of life is still new, so you have to learn those responses. And that's instead of just coming from the gut, try to bring a little bit of the head into it. The other thing I was thinking too is you were talking about, you know, the fact that we all have those times when we're not all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But perhaps in recognizing the power of energy, we can try to make those positive things almost like our bedrock, so that people around us can bring that in without pulling us down, and we can help them come up a little bit, depending on the moment and the time, you know, like the circumstances. I realize, you know, some things are going to take a long, long time. But even then, for ourselves, you know, if we've made that our bedrock, we can maybe refer back to it.
Yes. I love how you describe that. That's a wonderful way to explain how our bedrock something we can rely on, we can fall back on, whether it is a certain tool, and it could also be include our faith, our trust in ourselves, our trust in God, or whatever it is, that whatever that bedrock is that we can fall back upon to have the reassurance that this too is only temporary, and I'll get through it as well. And it's a challenge. You know, we all have gone through minor and then huge challenges, and we have to go through them. And it's so helpful to have what you said so well, the bedrock to fall back on.
All right. In your profile, I point over here. Now, nobody can see me pointing, but I do have another monitor. There's a few phrases that I'm hoping you'll expand on, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all.
You've already touched on emotional vibrations. So I think that's the whole gamut. This is going to be a strange question. Is there, for lack of a better term, like a chart so that we can understand which are higher level vibrations or higher level energies? And what, if in case we're wallowing in those lower ones, we can work at coming out?
You know, there is a chart that in some ways very, very much does relate to the very topic we're talking about. Dr. David Hawkins, in his extraordinary book, Power Versus Force, describes the full range of emotions. And please forgive me, it's been probably 20 years since I've read the book, but it's an extraordinary reference book describing about energy and the, I don't recall the term he used. But it does show a full spectrum from the lowest, if I remember right, I think depression may be the lowest. And it does list all the different types of emotions all the way to the highest, which is love, and the highest calibration, which is love. So that would be a great resource for people to look at.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, because I had mistaken the fact that the intensity of anger, I would have put it into a higher vibe or a higher energy level, whatever. I can't remember the words now, but I was in fact wrong. So I'm thinking, maybe if we could just, not that you're going to live by it, but go, yeah. Okay, that would explain that. That would explain that.
Sure. Well, and I realize it may be a new concept to many people. I think an easy way to recognize, well, what might be the higher vibrational emotions would be the things that we have or we feel that make us feel really good and alive. We could feel expanded. And those are emotions such as gratitude, respect, kindness, peace, or just having fun, you know, or respect, reverence for life. Those all kind of make sense that they do feel good, right? And then anger.
You just trigger thoughts and I go to jump in, but yeah. I don't want to stop your train of thought.
Oh, thank you. And then, you know, it doesn't feel good. But please don't beat yourself up. If your audience, anyone hearing this, please do not beat yourself up for having these emotions. They are normal. But emotions that don't feel good, you know, the frustration, worry, anger, hate, greed, jealousy, coveting, comparing ourselves to others, depression, suicidal thoughts, they don't feel good. Honor where you're at. The key is to truly honor where you are. And, I believe it's Esther Hicks in her book. I'm not remembering. She has several books. Esther Hicks, she has beautiful writings. And I believe Dr. Hawkins also talks about this. When we're at a low level, let's say we are at a place of anger, Don't expect that we can raise all the way up to joy suddenly. No, it doesn't work that way. But we can go in small increments above. So let's say someone is depressed. Maybe the next step they could go to is anger, and then from anger to another emotion, and then slowly building up. It just depends on the person. It depends on the circumstances. Are they getting help? Do they have support? There's so many variables. But I think in essence, just recognizing, well, what feels really good and what doesn't. That might be a nice way to kind of remember all that.
I have a friend, and actually this conversation just happened a week ago, who is 70. And there's a group of us that walk. And this person was commenting on the fact that they are working really hard at not getting angry when they drive. And they said, I recognize the feeling. And I'm working really hard at not buying into that feeling. And then the discussion went amongst the rest of us of so much of anger. We talked about like the inside job. It only affects mm-hmm. you oftentimes, especially in the case of driving or the news or something like that. I mean, if you're in the room with a person and there's anger, that's a different matter. But so often it just eats away at your inside. And whatever you're angry at, whoever you're angry at, doesn't change their life anyways. They won't change their behavior. They won't change because they don't know. So it's self-destructive.
It is. It can be. Now, I would also clarify a couple of things. One is, it actually is okay to have any and all emotions on occasion. And it's so important not to stuff it. I don't know the circumstances with your friend. It's awesome. It's wonderful that she is in a place of awareness of that anger feeling. What I would caution her, again, please forgive me because I don't know her circumstances. What I would caution her, or I would ask, I'm curious, is she stuffing it? If she is not allowing herself to feel the emotions, that is not good. Because remember, please, everything is energy. So even anger, well, any emotion is a type of energy. So when we have anger, and if we don't allow ourselves to have it, it gets stuffed. It will come out one way or another in the future, unconsciously. That can explain why some people suddenly have such an outburst over such a small thing. That could also explain horrible tragedies with people getting a gun and shooting. So holding up and holding up all that anger is not healthy. The key is to release it in a healthy way. And there's so much to be said here, but in essence, what I want to say is if a person has a lot of anger, it's okay. It's a reflection that there's some work within them that they need to do. There's something for them to look at, for them to then address, process through the feelings. It could very well be an unconscious thing from years ago, and it's eating at them because they've never dealt with that. And this is so prevalent and common throughout the world. So your friend is definitely not the exception. But it's so important actually to do our own inner work, to have self-responsibility to doing our own work. If we are feeling anger, the ideal situation is to ask, well, why am I feeling anger? What is it within me that is being triggered? Is there something I can heal? Yes, there is something to heal. Otherwise, you wouldn't be feeling this emotion. So sometimes people can do it on their own. Sometimes they need a friend, sometimes a coach, sometimes psychotherapy. It depends on the intensity, but it's something to be dealt with. And if an anger keeps coming up, it is trying to get your attention so it can be dealt with. And this is where people who are living a conscious mindful life who have self-responsibility will recognize, ah, there's something in me that I need to deal with and heal. So, for example, I'll give an example of myself. I have done so much personal work over the years, and I have released so much, but there's still stuff that come up for me. And just the other day, I was telling my friend, I said again, I regret selling my house that I sold, I think it's been 10 years now. I regret selling it because if I held on to it, I'd still have my own home. But I did sell it. I was guided to. But I was feeling this regret, and it's not intense, but it's still there. And she reminded me of something I know, but it's always good to get a reminder. And she said, well, Kate, this is an opportunity for you to look at that regret. What is it inside of you? Look at it, work with it, and heal it, process it. So I actually happen to have plans to do that this very night. This evening, I'm going to sit with myself and I'm going to check in with myself. This is such a beautiful way to live if we can just do our own healing. I know I shared a lot. There's a lot of stuff here, but I hope that makes sense.
You and I have a very similar story insofar as I also sold my last house, not quite 10 years ago, but close. And on occasion, I go, well... Maybe I shouldn't have. But one of the things that I also like to look at is you don't know what you don't know. So when I sold the house, it already needed a new roof, which was going to be thousands of dollars. There were massive great trees. And, you know, I would take these limbs as big as small trees into the deck or into the ground. More thousands of dollars. You know, I was on a variable interest rates, and I don't know about where you are, but where I am, interest rates have skyrocketed the last year. So I keep on going, okay, it's really easy to have those rose-colored glasses on and say, oh, well, it was this, it was wonderful, you know, maybe I shouldn't have. But because of all the things I don't know, then, you know, it was the right decision. Actually, a friend of mine many years ago said, the definition of a bad decision is the best available data. So at that time, it was the right thing to do given what
That's
you knew
so
then.
True. That really is true. Yes. And what a wonderful story you just shared. For me, I know intellectually I made the right decision. I was so guided to sell it. My intuition said it's time to sell. I followed my guidance, so it was the right decision. And then that little ego part is like, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I honor the decision I made, and I will work with that tonight. And so it also dawned on me, there's the human side of me. Sometimes will come up with that regret. Okay, I'm going to look at it. Tonight I'm going to work with it, and then I'm going to let it go. If it comes up again in the future, it'll be mild. And I'll just say, okay, I see you, and I let you go.
So here's a question for you. Is like the potentially negative thoughts of why did I do that, the regret, could that be the thin edge of the wedge? If you start doubting your intuitive decisions and you say, could that grow into start doubting other intuitive decisions?
You have such wonderful questions, Agnes. I really
You're leading me on. I have notes beside you here, and I'm not following anything.
These are excellent questions. I think for some people, it could lead to having more and more self-doubt. For me, no, because I have worked for so many years in trusting myself more. And I do. And I'm much more confident in who I am than I have ever been. I grew up with a lot of shame and no self-confidence due to some circumstances in my life, in my childhood. One of them was I lost most of my hearing at the age of 2. I actually fell out of a window and through that lost most of my hearing. And as a result, I grew up with no hearing aids through my grade school, middle school, and high school. And people thought I was stuck up. They thought I was weird. I thought I was a mistake. So I've overcome a lot of the negative beliefs about myself, where I've been able to heal so much of that. So now I am much more in my sense of trusting myself and not doubting myself as much. But you bring up an excellent point. I have to be transparent. You mentioning that, I'm going to remind myself, you know, Kate, now that I am more trusting of myself, I am going to choose not to doubt my decision from selling my house and use that as a kind of a affirmation. Yes, I made the right decision, and I'm not doubting myself. For other people, maybe they would, and that's where we just have to be very mindful of how we think. Yeah.
Going back to my list over here, raising consciousness, I think we've just talked about that to a large extent. Now, you mentioned self-care. What is your definition of self-care?
My definition of self-care is to be mindful and aware of myself enough to know what do I need on all levels of my being, emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical. What do I need to do for myself? How can I take better care of myself so that I feel really great? I can be on top of the world as much as possible so that I can be of service. For me, having great self-care means that I can really take care of myself so I can help other people more. I'm more available to do that because that's my passion, is to support others. And I want to feel good so I can do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you talk about gaining confidence and raising self-esteem. Do you have tips, I guess, is what I'm asking?
There's many things that we can do to raise our self-confidence and self-esteem. I'll share two simple tools. And before I do, I do want to share, it's not something that necessarily happens overnight. And it does really require commitment. And to do these tools and do various things on a very continuous basis, constantly, depending on how low of a person's self-esteem is, they may need professional help, maybe not. But there's so many things we can do. So here's two simple tools, and there's many, many tools. I share them with my clients. You know, I had one client who came to me over a year ago. She was very anxious and frustrated, and she had no boundaries with her clients when it came time to end the session. And in our coaching, I've discovered that she has a lot of negative self-talk. She would say, "Oh, I must have done something wrong because they don't like me," or "I am just not worthy." And so through our coaching, she came up with the wonderful phrase. So here's one tool, is to catch yourself when you're talking negative or beating yourself up. One tool is to first and foremost be aware. Catch yourself doing it. Stop. Perhaps even imagine a stop sign. And then don't beat yourself up for beating yourself up. Recognize, hey, I'm glad I noticed. And then replace it with a positive phrase. My client came up with this beautiful phrase, "I am a treasure." And so when she catches herself beating herself up, she'll say, "I am a treasure." And maybe other beautiful things. I am worthy. So that's one thing to do, is to be in awareness of your talking to yourself. If you're beating yourself up, stop. And don't beat yourself up for beating yourself up. And replace it with a phrase. So create a phrase that feels genuine and true to yourself. Another tip, and this is really powerful. It's really powerful. It sounds simple, but the tip is this. If you can, look in the mirror, look into your own eyes, and just say a nice positive thing to yourself. Kate, you really did the best you could today. Or, you know, I am doing the best I can. Or, I made such a great dinner for my family last night. Whatever it is, say something. Maybe it's a small accomplishment, an acknowledgement. Whatever it is, say that by looking in your eyes. And that's a powerful thing to do. If we can do that every day consistently, that can help to feel better. And it helps also by focusing on the good. So self-acknowledgement by looking in the mirror helps us to see, well, what are we doing right?
I had a business coach who, at the end of the year, said, what have you accomplished? It was a group of us. What have you accomplished this year? And of course, I think every one of us said, oh, well, I wanted to get this done. I didn't get it done. And so for the following 6 months, she had us check in weekly with what we had accomplished. Because you forget your accomplishments. You forget what you did right. You forget how magnificent you are. But when you're actually jotting it down and looking at the end of the week going, oh man, this one thing is pulling me down, but look at what I've actually accomplished or done or said or like whatever it is, wherever you're going with the task.
And that helps us look at what are we doing right? And that you know what? That raises our vibration and we feel better.
Okay, that works. Now, you touched on it really briefly. Gratitude. Talk to me about gratitude.
One of the things I share with my audiences is a really great way to make positive change in our life is to have gratitude and genuine gratitude. Get in a habit of looking at all that you can be grateful for. There's so many things. Every time you turn on the kitchen faucet sink, water comes out. How handy and wonderful is that? Our electricity works. The phone works. We have enough food. Gratitude for, there's so many things. The friends we have. My refrigerator has been making really funky noises. The freezer, really funky, creepy noises on occasion. And then it stops. And so I will say to my refrigerator, thank you, I'm so glad you're still working. I do this many times. I would recommend people just many times a day, just be grateful. There's so many things. And again, that is one of the higher vibrational emotions. And how do we feel when we have gratitude? When you have an appreciation for a friend of yours or your pet, or right now with you and I, Agnes, everything on the technology is working spick and span. I am so grateful for that. And that brings the heart to open. When we open our heart, we feel better. There's more love, and that again goes into that high vibration. So if a person is bummed out, they're sad, again, recognize it. Don't stuff those feelings. But if one of the tools I use is go into gratitude, and that can help you little by little to kind of step up into feeling a little bit better.
Do you agree that gratitude can become a habit.
Oh, yes. That's so true. It's actually become a great habit of mine. I've never counted it, but at least probably 5 to 10 or 20 times a day has become a habit.
I had that thought this morning because I have worked really hard at making gratitude part of my life. And as I leave my home for my morning client, hit the stop sign. Well, I didn't hit it. I got to the stop sign, glance. And I went, thank you, as I pulled right out, no traffic to be seen. Yeah. And then I started laughing at myself, going like, oh boy, you're even thanking the traffic gods now.
Awesome. I do that kind of thing too, Agnes. I do.
Yeah. And even those external things, I mean, you started saying that, but those external things like thank you, fridge, for working. Thank you for the green light. Like, thank you for a sunny day.
Yeah.
All those things. And then you can internalize it a little bit more. Once it becomes a habit out there, it can become a habit close in.
Yeah.
Thanking people for important things, thanking the people around you, thanking
Absolutely.
Yourself, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, how about having gratitude for ourselves? How about when we show up for work? Maybe we love it, maybe we don't love our job, but we're showing up. How about gratitude that, yes, I have the energy to make a meal for myself, for my family? Or gratitude for myself for having the ambition to going back to school. There's so many things we can be grateful for ourselves as well. Yeah.
Here we go. You have a talking point that I'm hoping you'll expand on, and I have to read it. What does humanity's current evolutionary leap have to do with the age of Aquarius?
Yes. Indeed. What does the humanity's change going that we're going through have to do with the age of Aquarius? Throughout the history of humankind, there has always been evolutionary leaps, like the industrial age or the agricultural age. Well, we are currently, Mother Earth as well as humanity, are going through the most profound evolutionary leap of all time. And it's by design. We are moving from the old age of Pisces, which is characterized by male dominance, violence, greed, a sense that we are separate, a belief that men and women are not equal, very heavy stuff. But we are actually moving into a new age. Some call it the age of Aquarius, which is characterized by, well, those high vibration things we talked about. Love and kindness, collaboration, peace, joy, kindness, respect. But in order to get there, the old that is no longer working must come up to the surface to be healed. Whether it's on a collective basis or individually, that which no longer serves us must come up to the surface for us to see, to become aware and conscious of. In that, we are then better able to heal whatever it needs to heal. This is exactly the reason why there's so much happening in the world, so much chaos, increased violence, and more challenges in our own individual lives. It is for the very reason of the, we're going through an evolutionary leap. And I might share that my latest book, Humanity's Cry for Change, talks about this and explains what I just explained about the shift from the old age of Pisces into the new age of Aquarius. And it also describes what we can do and what we need to do to survive as a species in order for us to move into the new age. And there's also, by the way, a lot of exercises that help people to feel better and deal better with challenges. So
if all of this is boiling up now so that we can see it and hopefully resolve it, does that mean that we are in the age of Aquarius or we are moving into Aquarius?
Some people will say we are already in the age of Aquarius. Some people will say we are not. I'm going to share something. I'm going to try to be as simple and clear as possible. Some say we are already in the age of Aquarius, that there is already in existence the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension represents the new Earth, which is the age of Aquarius, of many, many hundreds of years of peace. But we are also, from our human perception ability, from our ability to perceive from the human side of us, we do still perceive the third dimension. So in that way, some people say they are coexisting. And in order to better live in the fifth dimension, it is to our advantage to be of the same qualities as the fifth dimension. And interestingly, guess what, Agnes? You know what I'm going to say? That represents the higher vibrational emotions. Higher vibration. The age of Aquarius, our rising in consciousness, all has to do with higher frequency and vibration of all those characteristics that people have heard about the age of Aquarius. Love, peace, and harmony. If we do our own inner work, getting rid of the old that doesn't serve us, we will raise into a higher vibration and we will be more in the fifth dimension, the age of Aquarius. There are some people, and wherever they are is fine, because wherever anyone is at is where they're meant to be. There is no right or wrong. Those people who are in the lower vibration, they're dealing with suffering and challenges, and they don't know how to raise their vibration. They are more in the third dimension. And people such as myself and many others of higher consciousness are here to hold the light and the higher frequency for everyone on the planet. So we can be the light bearers, the light workers for those who are in suffering and pain. I hope that made sense.
Yes, and I'm going to interject for the listeners, is if you're wondering if we've just gone back to a 60s musical, we have not. Do some research into the Age of Aquarius, and yeah, it's do that research into the Age of Aquarius when you have an evening to spend, because it can be a rabbit hole in the nicest way possible.
Yeah. There's so many aspects about it. So yes, there's.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I asked if we were, because I had done some of that research. Yeah. I said, are we in the Age of Aquarius? Yeah. Now I'm going to go change subjects completely. You're a Reiki master / teacher. Is that a modality that works for you, or does it go hand in hand with the other things you coach?
Oh, okay. Well, Reiki is a alternative healing modality. And so it doesn't go quite so hand in hand with my coaching, although indirectly it does. Through the training of becoming a Reiki master and teacher, I've gone through 4 levels, and each training does what they call an initiation, or also known as an attunement. And that actually does help me, and anyone who does this, who goes through Reiki training, it helps them to heal old wounds and raise their consciousness. In that regard, it has helped me to be more of an intuitive coach and a better speaker. And it has helped me to increase my self-responsibility and doing my own personal work. So indirectly, yes, it does. Reiki, though, is a gentle hands-on healing that brings the life force energy called chi that brings it through the practitioner and through the hands and shares that chi energy. And what it does, it helps to release blocks of energy in that person. And it also can help on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And I would encourage any listener to look it up, R-E-I-K-I, Reiki. So I have been blessed to go through, and I've been called to go through the training. And then I teach classes myself here in the Denver area on occasion. So it's a lovely modality. There are other healing modalities as well, and Reiki is one of them.
You just intuited two or three of the questions I was going to follow up with, so that's perfect. Okay, we've covered quite a bit. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think or want mid-age women to consider?
I do always enjoy sharing with the audience to encourage them and to empower them to really recognize their brilliance, that truly each of you do make a positive difference. Because we are all interconnected, as you make positive change in your life, you are impacting those around you, and you are positively impacting humanity. So as you raise your vibration, as you do your personal work, imagine you times 100 million or 1 billion people. This all adds positive to the collective consciousness of humanity. This does in fact help birth the new earth into the age of Aquarius. So please know that you as an individual are so important and so needed.
I'm going to ask one question about your words. As we raise our own consciousness, take on those higher energies, live those higher energies, is that enough, or do we have some sort of obligation to go out and share it?
You mean as far as changing humanity?
Well, just in terms of, you know, like if we can be positive and loving and the really positive things, we talked about how energy can affect each other, like different people can affect each other. Do we need to get out there and just exude that energy? Like it's one thing to sit in my little room here and feel, oh, I'm great and things are wonderful. Should I be getting out there with other people? And
okay, that's a great question too. Do it whatever you're feeling guided to do. When you have positive energy and raising into higher vibration, you feel better. You can, but you don't have to be out with other people because your energy and vibration will radiate out whether you're with other people or not. Now, it is helpful to be with other people and they'll get inspired by you. They may see you as a model of happiness and joy. But really, even if you were to just be by yourself, you are adding positive to the collective.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I mentioned one of your books in the intro. You've also mentioned it. You actually have two. Tell us about your books.
Oh, yes. My first book is called Deeply We Are One. I was honored to publish that about 10 years ago. And in essence, it's about recognizing your own greatness. And as you recognize your own greatness and brilliance, you then naturally better see this in others. And as you do, you also can better honor all of humanity and nature and realize and sense better the interconnectivity of life, the oneness. So we again start the work within ourselves, and then we can better appreciate and see it in others and appreciate the interconnection of life. So yeah, that's the first book. And then I mentioned the Humanity's Cry for Change, my latest book, that describes why we're going through such havoc and how we can better navigate.
Sound like must reads.
Yes, thank you. I think so. I feel very honored because these words are really meant for the masses and really very loving, kind words that I think really will help support people.
Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Yes, I have my own website, joyfulradiance.com. joyfulradiance.com, and my book is there. My book is also on Amazon. Well, both my books are, and you can find it either on my website or Amazon. And I'm also offering free gifts, and I would always love to hear from the audience. Just shoot me a question. I am here to support you if you're interested. And there's also a free gift if you opt into my monthly newsletter. And before long, I'm going to have this exclusive video that will help people to create more achievable goals, goals that they can achieve easier. So I have that as a free gift coming up soon.
Incentivizing. Yeah. And you're also on social, I think, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'm on social Facebook and LinkedIn. And those links are on my website. Yeah.
Well, you're preempting me here because your website link is always in the show notes. All the links will be on your page at our website. So it's one-stop shopping in that regard.
Thank you.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kate as much as I did. Do you have thoughts on today's show? Please talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at the Boomer Woman's podcast at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, talk to us there. Or maybe there was a thought I didn't ask Kate about. Ask it in the comments and I'll give you an answer. Leave stars and reviews where you can. They really do help us expand our reach. And share this episode. A quote that gained prominence during COVID was, "We may not all be in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm." The same can be said for this midlife time. I'll talk about the global time. If you struggle to find the positive, chances are your friends are too. If you share this episode, you might find a boat mate who is already a friend. Kate Hartsong, thank you for being my guest today and emphasizing how we really do need each other and how we are all interconnected.
Yes. Thank you, Agnes. I so appreciate you and appreciate what you do for the planet as well.
Oh, thank you. Have a great rest of the week.